This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, today is Healing Sunday. And of course, every Sunday is Healing Sunday because God's Word will deliver you and set you free. You believe that today? And so today I'm going to minister to you on two powerful forces that God uses to bring healing in our lives. Amen? These are powerful forces that work a lot of times in hand with each other and in delivering and healing people. And these two powerful forces are mercy. Can somebody say mercy? And faith. Amen. And so let's look at the scripture. It reveals what motivated Jesus, because Jesus was motivated, and he wasn't just motivated. And I do preach a lot of sermons on faith, and faith will cause Jesus to move. But there's another component, which is mercy. Somebody say mercy. And so I love this. And it says here in Matthew 14:14, it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Think about this. So what was his motivation? What was Jesus' motivation? Well, it wasn't that he saw their faith, and they could have had faith in the crowd, but he had compassion. And so I really believe that God heals us first and foremost, not because we're covenant people, because he loves us. Yeah. Yeah. Can you get a witness and say, God, somebody say, God loves me. And so God's more than just a covenant keeping God, which he is. But Jesus, it says that with compassion, he healed the sick. So we're going to focus on compassion and faith this morning. And let's look at Hebrews 2:17, because this talks about Jesus. And it says, therefore, in all things, he has been made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Amen. So I love that. So here, Jesus was made like his brethren. In other words, Jesus became a man so that he could walk down here. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost to do works of power and miracles. Amen. So he lived down here like a normal person. But that's a big amen. But he had the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. So he was doing it like we do today. We're normal people, but we have the power of the Holy Ghost working in our lives. And so this where he became a merciful, because he knows our weaknesses. He knows there's times when our faith is not full throttle. Has your faith ever been full, been in low gear every once in a while? Have you ever struggled in your faith? I think we all struggle in our faith. But I love this because he says here that he's a merciful and faithful high priest. And he says here that he made propitiations for our sins and for the people. For he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are being tempted. This is a powerful verse here. That tells me that sometimes when we're weak in faith, Jesus can come to our rescue. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. That's good preaching, because I don't know about you, but I need Jesus. I need that help me Jesus prayer every once in a while. I need a call on Jesus. And I'm going to say this, when we're at our weakest point, Jesus can lend, he can stretch down his hand and lift us up out of the muck and the mire of this world system. So healing is two methods. Divine healing can be brought about by mercy and compassion of Jesus, and also it's brought about by our faith. Amen? I love that. So let's look at scripture again. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. So the healing power of Jesus in this verse was more focused on compassion than their faith. So I love that. So I need God's compassion in my life. I need his mercy in my life. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, amen, I don't know where I would be at. And some of you probably could say the same thing. If it wasn't for God's mercy. And there's sometimes, I believe, God's mercy comes in when we don't have the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. I'm going to say it again. God's mercy comes into our life when we don't always understand the Word of God and how to apply it in our life. Amen. Amen. And so let's look at this, because we're going to look at Jesus' mercy this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about his first sermon that he preached. And it's in Luke 4, working our way down from 16 on down. He says here, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. Now, I just want to stop right here before I read the rest of the scriptures. Jesus was in church every Saturday. This is powerful. It was his custom to go to church. So I'm going to say this to you. If you want to see more of God's compassion, more of God's mercy, get in to the church. Get in to where the presence of God is moving. Amen. Amen. I've experienced God's love, his manifestation power in church. When I started coming to church, in the praise and worship, in the preaching. I'm telling you, if you want to see God move in compassion in your life, start coming to church on a regular basis. Amen. So he was handed the book of the prophet, in verse 17 of Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." I'm going to say this to you today. The Spirit of God is on you. And he has anointed you. You got to believe that today. Why? Because Jesus is living on the inside of you. You got to get an understanding of that. And God's mercy and grace on our lives will cause the anointing of God to be on our lives. Amen. So the anointing of God is God's power and his presence to be on our lives to produce powerful delivering results for us and for others. God's anointing can not only set you free, but set people free around you. Amen. You got to believe that today. So somebody say, "I am called." You are called to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only to be set free yourselves, but to set others free. Amen? I like what it says in Isaiah 10:27. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day," this is today, amen, "that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying that God's anointing can break any sickness, any bondage, anything that you're dealing with. His anointing, which is his grace and his mercy, can break it off of your lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? It's his anointing. It's his grace. Amen. And I'm telling you, we are in an anointed church, glory to God. The power and the presence of God is in this place to set the captives free. Now when he's preaching, he says to preach the gospel to the poor. So God's mercy and grace can empower us to break the power of poverty and lack off of our lives and the lives of others. Amen? I love that. So God's anointing can cause increase. God's mercy upon our lives, which equates to his anointing, can cause increase in our lives. Amen? I like what it says in Philippians 4:19. "My God," somebody say, "My God," "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So his mercy will cause us to prosper in down times. Do you believe that today? His grace will cause you to prosper while everybody else is suffering. His grace will give you a promotion while everybody else is sitting around waiting for it. I've heard people in our church say, "Pastor, I'm getting a promotion." I hear people telling me this. I said, "Praise God, our people are always blessed, glory to God." I got people that are business people in here, and their businesses are doing well because it's the grace and the mercy of God. I like what it says in Psalms 34:10. The young lions suffer hunger, lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Glory to God. So this is powerful. This is powerful. So it's saying here that as we seek God, as we seek Him with a whole heart, His grace and His mercy will cause the blessings of God to come on our lives, and we will lack nothing. Amen. Do you believe that today? Then Jesus says, He sent me. Now I'm talking about the mercy of Jesus this morning. Jesus, first, His mercy is that He's preaching the gospel to the poor. Second, mercy of Jesus, He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So Jesus was sent to heal the broken heart. Has anybody been hurt in the house today? Have you ever been hurt by anybody? Well, God can heal your broken hearts. Glory to God. Do you believe that today? And it's His mercy. It's His compassion that comes into our lives to heal our broken hearts. Glory to God. Have you ever needed something from the Lord? Maybe you're lacking, you're downtrodden, and you turn on the radio and just that special worship song came on, and the Holy Spirit touched you through that worship song. It was God's compassion, God's mercy revealing His love to you. Amen? So I love that. So His mercy, He was sent to heal the broken heart. In other words, in Isaiah 61:3, it says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. I love that. I'm telling you, God can give you beauty for ashes. He can give you joy for your grief. He can give you a garment of praise for heaviness. You got to believe that today, glory to God, that His mercy is abounding in all areas, glory to God. His mercy erases our past. I'm going to say it again. God's mercies erases our past, especially our past mistakes. Amen. You don't have to be worried about your past because you can put it under the blood. You can put your past under the blood. I like what it says in Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in deserts. So He's saying here in Isaiah, do not remember the former things. Don't bring up your misses. Don't focus on your shortfalls. Don't focus on your sins, your past sins. Don't focus on that. Focus on the goodness and the mercy of God. He says here, His mercy proclaims liberty to the captives. God's mercy and grace sets us free from bondages of sin in our lives. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities because He was made just like us. So He knows how difficult and how hard it can be living down here. Amen. And so He can set us free from the bondage of sin. Somebody say, I'm set free from the bondage of sin. In Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under God's grace. So you don't have to have sin control you, praise God, because God's mercy and grace is drawing you to Himself, keeping you right with Him. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. I believe that today. God's desire is to keep you right. In John 8:36, Jesus speaks here. He says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Glory to God. I love that. And then in Titus 2:11-14, it says, for by the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. That's powerful. That's powerful. So God's grace is appeared, and it helps us to deny ungodliness and worldliness in this life. Do you believe that today? God's mercy on our life. In other words, if you're doing wrong, you should feel bad. You should sense a grieving, glory to God. That's God revealing to you, get back with him. If you're sensing a grieving or a lack of peace, that could be God saying, get back with me. A lack of peace, a lack of peace in our life. Amen. God's mercy and grace opens physical and spiritual blind eyes. I love that. So Jesus came, and see, nobody went around healing people like Jesus did. Jesus came as a prophet, yes, and as the Messiah to set the captives free. And it says here in Acts 26:18, to open the eyes in order to turn. So he came to set us free, spiritual blindness and physical blindness. Let me just say that. And then in Acts 26, talking about spiritual blindness, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Glory to God. So here he's saying in the book of Acts that Jesus' mercy and grace is opening our eyes up to God's truth. I'm going to say this. You would not be saved today if it wasn't for God's mercy. Amen. Don't brag about your faith. Don't brag about how smart you were to get Jesus in your life. Because you weren't that smart. Jesus picked you. He drew you by his Spirit. And he says, I want you in the kingdom of God. So let's brag more about God's mercy than our faith. Amen. Think about that. It's God's mercy that we're here today. Amen. And I love that, because we're going to look at a story right here talking about the mercy of Jesus. And we're going to see how much faith it took for this man to get healed. In John 9, 1 and 7, talking about Jesus opening blind eyes. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And he went and washed and came back seeing. Powerful. So I want to ask you a question. How much faith it took for this man just to follow an instruction? It didn't take a lot of faith. Oh, yeah, he had mud on his eyes, so he may have just went to the pool anyway. It didn't. How much of God's mercy was operating for this blind man? And this is interesting, because some would say in dealing with sickness, well, God causes sickness. He causes these problems. But why would Jesus say for the works of God to be manifested in this life, and then he healed him? Amen. Think about that. So this right here, this blindness was not from God. Amen. It was for the works of God to be manifested. The sickness you're dealing with is not from God. It's for the works of God to be manifested in healing in your body. Amen. Can I get a witness now? Say, that's powerful today. That's powerful today. So here he's saying it wasn't the parents' sin. It was because that God wants to do a miracle in his life, and he did a miracle. So the works of God is healing, not sickness. Hey, amen. I'm telling you, I got some amens here. Glory to God. Amen. So number five, the mercy of God and the grace of God sets us free from bondages of sickness. Now I'm getting somewhere. Yeah. Now I'm getting somewhere. It says here in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I love that verse because it's saying that Jesus undid what the devil was doing. Amen. Jesus came to undo the works of the evil one. And Jesus' mercy wants to do any wrong works in your life. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he who himself bore our sins, talking about Jesus came to heal people. Glory to God, I came to heal those who are oppressed. And oppression is likened to sickness. Amen. And it says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we have been died into sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus paid the price for our healing. He was going on credit when he was down here. And then when he went to the cross and he received his beating, then that credit was paid in full. Somebody say, it is finished. Jesus paid the price for your healing 2,000 years ago. I love that. And then he fulfilled it because he actually says it by reading this text out of Isaiah 61, that this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What's that scripture? That Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen. He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. I love that. So that means that Jesus' mercy gives us favor. Can somebody say favor?
Favor.
Amen. So God's mercy and grace are on those who make Jesus Lord and Savior of their lives. And Psalms 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Have you ever prayed for favor in here? Do you know you are the righteousness of God and you are surrounded with his favor because you have Jesus living on the inside of you? Glory to God. I love that. And it says here, God's favor will satisfy us and strengthen us in tough times. His mercy is equated to his favor that will satisfy us in hard times.
Amen.
You got to believe that today. Anybody going through a hard time? And just because you're having a birthday doesn't mean you're going through a hard time because you have 1 year older. Amen. Glory to God. You're not going through a hard time. Glory to God. You can just celebrate one more year closer to seeing Jesus.
Amen.
Every birthday should be 1 year closer to seeing Jesus. And Jesus is the best thing we've ever received in our entire lives. Do you believe that today? And so his mercy will give us the favor of God on our life. And that favor will cause us to thrive in lean times. It says in Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought. Notice that. Satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Glory to God. I love that. And God's favor and grace, his mercy equates to his favor that comes upon us. Amen? I love that. And his favor will work out everything in our lives. Amen? It says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and that are called according to his purpose. So Jesus' mercy and compassion compelled him to heal and deliver sick and bound people and to reveal to them that he is anointed Messiah that came to save the world. Amen? I love that. So let's look at another account of healing that pertains to his mercy and our faith. In Luke 18:35, it says it happened, 18:35-43, it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out even more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I'm going to say this. Jesus will always turn a bad situation into a good situation. Jesus is the U-turn Jesus. He's the fresh beginning Jesus. He's the new start Jesus, glory to God. No matter what you may be dealing with, no matter what struggle you're dealing with, Jesus can turn it around. You got to believe that today. Let's look at the keys. Let's look at some keys to this man's healing. He heard about Jesus. Reputation of healing people. He must have heard Jesus was going around healing people. That's how he was aware of calling on Jesus. He must have knew Jesus was a healing Jesus. If you're going to receive your healing, point number one, you must believe Jesus has the power to heal you. Amen. If you're going to receive your healing. This man, blind Bartimaeus, knew Jesus had the power. He cried out to Jesus for mercy. If we're going to see healing in our lives, we must trust God's mercy and compassion more than our own faith. Amen. I'm going somewhere today. Amen. Your faith can carry you, but you need to put your faith and trust. Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in God and His mercy. Can I get a witness in the house today? In other words, have more faith in God's mercy to heal you than your faith, than you to have faith to receive. Let me say it again. Have more faith in God's mercy to heal you than your faith to receive a healing. Yes. Can I get a witness in the house today? I know I'm preaching it a little different today. Amen? But we got to get in a place where we're more focused on Jesus more than just the healing. Glory to God. And when we get more focused on Jesus, the healing will come. I'm going somewhere today. He gave Jesus honor by calling him the Son of David. If you want to see healing in your life, honor Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In other words, if you want to see healing and deliverance in your life, put Jesus first place in your life. Put him number one. Uno numero. Number one. Amen. And so he understood that Jesus, that he called him the Son of David, giving him a respectful title, which means that Jesus is a covenant man. Amen. He overcame opposition of people by telling him to be quiet, and he kept calling. So he overcame the opposition of the people. If you're going to see healing in your life, you got to get louder than your critics. Amen. You got to get louder than your critics. I know there's people that got healed in our church, glory to God, that were seeing doctors, and doctors would say to them, you will always have this condition. And they would say, no, not according to my Bible. And they came out of their condition when the doctors told them that that condition was for life. Amen. People in our church has been healed by been healed from diabetes. Yeah. Glory to God. And they don't even have to take medication anymore. Where the doctors say you're going to have it for your life, you don't have to have it for life. Because God's mercy can come in and wipe it away in a New York second. Amen. Anything can change in a New York minute. Amen. Glory to God. Do you believe that today? So just because the so-called experts say that you're stuck with something, my Bible says something different. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Jesus called himself. If we're going to called him to himself. So if we're going to see healing in our lives, we must get an audience with Jesus through our faith and through persistence. Amen. So I love that. So he wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus healed him and gave him his sight. So if you're going to, you know, Jesus asked him, "What did you want?" You got to get specific in your desire from God. If you're not specific, how can God answer your prayer? Get specific on what God wants you to do, what you want God to do in your life. Amen. And so we see here that it was a combination of Jesus' mercy and a man's faith that caused him to be healed. Glory to God. Now let's look at another account where Jesus' mercy rescues Peter out of doubt and unbelief. You know, Peter was an amazing apostle of Jesus. And he did amazing things, but he also messed up a few times. Have you ever read about Peter messing up? He denied Jesus. He did some things. But thank God for the mercy of Jesus. Amen. He kept his position in God. He became a great apostle in Christ. And just because we make some mistakes doesn't mean it's over. Can I get a witness in the house today? Now let's look at this story. It says in Matthew 14, 25 to 32. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Man, these are the apostles you want in your camp. Amen. But immediately, see, this tells me that we get fearful at times. This tells me that sometimes our faith is not always on. And he says here, they cried out fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Amen. You know, I believe these stories in the Bible. I don't believe they were just written to be a good story. I believe Jesus walked on the water. I believe it. Yes. Amen. I believe that Peter walked on the water. Amen. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So we see here now Peter is performing a Messiah miracle. Peter is actually walking on the water. What does God want us to do? He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us walking in miracles. Jesus even said, "The works that I do, you will do, and even greater works, because I go to the Father on your behalf." Amen. Now, it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around doing greater works than Jesus. Amen. But Jesus wants us doing greater works. Do you believe that today? And it says here, that he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind that was boisterous and he was afraid and began to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So this is a powerful account of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. And Peter started off strong in his faith. Peter was walking on the water. And I'm going to say this, we can start off strong in our faith, but we can get weary and tired at times in our lives. Because the devil wants to blow winds against us. He wants to cause the waves to brush up. The devil's trying to distract some of us to get us off the mission that God has for us. The mission for Peter was to walk towards Jesus and to walk back to the boat. That was the mission. And the devil, what he did was he upset the mission. He caused distraction to come into Peter's life. And what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to distract us from the mission that God has placed on each one of us. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? He's a distracting devil. And so Peter, it says here, Peter began to sink and he cried out to the Lord, "Be saved." Jesus had mercy and saved him when his faith was low. It wasn't Peter's faith that saved him. It was Jesus' mercy. Think about that. So where faith might waver, Jesus' mercy is our safety net to our deliverance. I'm going to say that again. Where our faith may waver, Jesus' mercy is the safety net to our deliverance. Because faith is like walking on a tight rope. Faith can be like, you know, you ever see those tight rope walkers? And they got this, and they're walking, and some people walk, I guess, they put that line across, and they do it in the the circuses and all that. But I don't know if you ever noticed, they don't ever show it, but there's a net underneath. Just in case. Well, I'm going to say that God, that Jesus' mercy's net is under you. And I'm going to say this, you might be walking the tightrope of faith. You might just be, the wind and the waves might be pushing and blowing on you. And even if you fall, you will fall into the safety net of Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? I like this preaching. I like this preaching, glory to God. So today I'm going to say this. Have more faith in God's mercy to heal you than your faith to get a healing from God. That's powerful. I don't think I've ever preached it like that. This is the first time I ever preached it like this. Therefore, there may be times where we're struggling to receive healing from God. These are times where we need to have faith in God's mercy. I want to encourage you to focus on seeking God, the healer, instead of seeking healing from God. I'm going to say it again. Seek God, the healer, instead of healing from God. Now, that might sound like an oxymoron. Amen. Statement, but what that means is when you seek God and His presence, His power will be open to you to heal, deliver, and set free. Amen. So what I'm saying, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into Him, and they are safe. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into Him, and they are safe. Amen. And I'm going to say this, you're safe running into God. You're safe getting into the presence of the Most High God. In His presence, there's power. Look for God in your plight of what you're dealing with and watch His presence take care of you. Stop asking, how do we get into His presence? We get into His presence by praise and worship. Stop asking and start praising for your healing. Stop asking God for healing and start praising and worship Him and see the healing power of God restore your life. Start praising Him. I think about Brother Hagin. And before he had an incurable blood disease, a bad heart. He was half paralyzed. And he got out of that bed. And he never did this. He started praising God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I think he said. And when he just felt in his spirit to praise God. He wasn't quoting faith scriptures of healing. He was praising God. Now, there's nothing wrong with quoting faith scriptures of healing. That's good in its place. But he was worshiping God. And when he started worshiping God, the power of God came down on him and healed his body. Amen. I'm telling you, don't ever discount worship. In Psalms 8:2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So this verse tells us praise shuts down the power of the devil in our lives. So today we discover that healing and deliverance from God can come from His mercy and can be activated by our faith. Do you believe that today? Now faith is, I got to get a faith scripture in here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You have to see yourself healed before you receive your healing. You have to see yourself set free before you are set free. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, envisioned for. It's the vision of and the evidence of things not seen. Keep believing God. Focus on seeing yourself well. You will receive God's mercy and healing in your lives. I want to close out with this familiar scripture in Psalms 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My prayer for you today is may God's goodness and may His mercy follow you all the days of your life, and may you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you receive it today? I believe you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you that your mercies are renewed every morning. They're made anew every morning. And we thank you for your mercies on our life. Perhaps you're here in the audience watching online, and God's mercy is drawing you today. drawing you into his kingdom. And all you have to do is act in faith, pray a simple prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're ready to do that, just pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We would love for you to be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, get into a good church that can help you grow in Christ and keep tuning in. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.